Good evening to you, and welcome to the show, History and You, with George Rodriguez Walling.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to History and You, the show where you decide what history becomes. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. If you want to call in and contribute your thoughts, please do so at toll-free 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Call me and please tell me your views. If not, send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You'll find me at www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. That's www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. Please remember also to visit and support my Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube links found on the website as follow-ups to each and every program. Tonight's show is brought to you by the folks at FX Software, Sweet Pea Women's Apparel by Stacy Friday. Tonight's topic for the show, management, leadership, and the corporation. I want to talk sometime about a book which I was given to read, which has, I'm guessing the better part of 400 pages, 449, 429, just shy over 400, 420 something. It's a book about corporate life cycles. It's entitled Managing Corporate Life Cycles by a gentleman by the name of Itzhak Adizes, Dr. Itzhak Adizes. Not one of my best reads, I must admit. A bit simple, universal, generic, adequate for people that are wanting to get a reinforced general notion of life cycles of corporations. However, if you are well advanced in business within your own personal experience, or you are presently involved in an MBA program, I don't think this book will serve you well. I may be wrong, but I suspect that it will not serve your better interests. So, tonight's topic, management, leadership, and the corporation, I have titled it as such because I think that you need to get a quick summation of what this book is going to talk to you about. And the second part of the program will hopefully try and tell you what the book may be lacking. So, this is designed to be a constructive critique or criticism of Dr. Adizes' book, Managing Corporate Life Cycles. The invention of the corporation, which took place, initiated its debut back in the latter part of the 19th century, at least here in the United States, with conglomerates and oligopolies and mergers and all sorts of corporate combinations. But the corporation basically made its debut in the latter part of the 19th century, even though it's been around forever. Truth be told, the American corporation has been here since its inception of this country's history, even in colonial days and pre-colonial days. But where it really made its explosion into the market was post-Civil War, 1880s, 1890s definitely, and so forth. So the invention of the corporation is really, when one comes to think about it, is the embodiment, the complete embodiment of what we wish it to represent as a reflection of what drives us to succeed. And if you think about what I've just told you, it begins to paint a picture of almost a a begotten son. I want my son to live into the image that I've always dreamed of living into, without necessarily having me as the father cast an overarching shadow over him. But it is what we wish it to represent as a reflection of our ambition, of what drives us to want to be successful. Our ambitions are those seeds that make it grow, that make it perpetual, and that also makes for the perfect breeding ground of our own greed. Ad seculorum, forever and ever without end. Because the corporation is also a vehicle that is used to reap as much greed of ours as possible. Greed, I'm here to tell you, and speaking of greed is not good. As opposed to the original Wall Street movie by Mr. Douglas himself, greed is good. Well, no, greed is not good, because greed is an obsession. And any kind of an obsession to that degree is never a healthy thing as far as a mental mindset and where you are mentally with that. But ambition is good. Ambition is healthy. Ambition tells someone that you want to improve on the quality and productivity of your life. But be careful with greed. A corporation, as a legal person, which it is, can be immortal if it's led down the right path under the right kind of management and under the right kind of leadership. But there are so many people who just wish they knew how to do that, and they don't. The leadership, or the quality of leadership to lead a company down a successful path, is not an easy thing. Leadership is hard, because leadership is something that for some people you're born with. For others, you have sharpened your skill with so much practice and so much experience and so much insight that it's tough to beat on the part of other competitors vying for that same skill. Leadership is tough. Today, I just heard a report as to how Obama is having some leadership qualities abroad because, well, I don't know to the extent of accuracy of these reports, but our foreign leaders are not holding our American president with too much respect, because they feel that the U.S. under his tutelage and under his leadership, Obama's leadership, is not holding firm or not holding solid ground to a lot of issues. But that's a different matter at this point. But leadership in relation to a corporation as a legal person that can be immortal can be a very, very valuable thing down the road. Without making a moral argument about the intent and conscience behind the rationale of corporate designs and dispositions, a corporation is a structural chance at a functional opportunity to rivet a niche for a market share in a given industry. And in order to do this well, a corporation does require a lifespan, because it is a lifelong endeavor on the part of this legal person called a corporation to be able to accomplish anything close to what I just told you a moment ago. If any corporate entity is expected to survive, even thrive for decades or more, its founders must first recognize that there are life cycles or stages of growth as typified in its fits and starts throughout its evolution. And these are, by and large, some of the things much of the things, I should really say, that Dr. Adiza states in his book, Managing Corporate Life Cycles. In a very similar manner to that of a human cycle, a corporation, Dr. Adiza likens it to that of a child who must outgrow different behavioral stages until reaching a level of maturity, an apex, as it were, of both productivity and profitability as seen in its earnings, managerial functions, creativity, and structural soundness. Once success has permeated most, if not all, levels of that company, then is when Dr. Adiza says the aging process begins. The aging process of a legal person, a corporation. This final stage of a corporation's life is best seen when it begins to feel complacent about what it used to do in terms of being focused and in terms of being productive. In other words, feeling complacent about how well it used to focus on things and how productive it used to be. A company becomes perpetual only when it knows how to avoid looking back and feeling accomplished, and only when it knows how to remain hungry for success. I want you to think about what I just told you. A company becomes forever survivable, perpetual, immortal, when it knows how to never ever look back and look at the things that made it successful. It can never cherish for itself moments of success, moments of insight, moments of acuity, moments of good strategy, moments of great choices and terrific decisions that elevated the company in so many different ways. Dr. Adiza says that a corporation cannot afford to do this, or cannot afford to do it too many times. I was left with the question of, well, then what are we supposed to fall back on as far as things that make us feel good about what we did and how we did it? If we managed to make a corporation grow, but we are discouraged from referencing back to our insightful antecedents, then what are we to fall back on? What do we tap into that can continue to slingshot us forward for more insight and better decisions down the road? That's what I was left with. And I couldn't figure out why this man would leave the reader with that kind of a feeling, if they were thinking along similar lines as what I am. Nonetheless, this is the argument of Dr. Adiza in his book entitled, once again, Managing Corporate Life Cycles. Is it a successful read? I would say so, if for no other reason than one: management skills. Management. And when you hear the word management, I don't want you to think of the manager at McDonald's, the manager at Burger King, the manager at Denny's, the manager. I want you to think of how a given person or groups of people at different levels within a corporate setting manage, administer, handle, approach, situations, contentious situations, difficult challenges, making the tough decisions, trying to figure out problems, dealing with other people in a not so friendly manner, management. There are many business people out there who call on Dr. Adidas for orientation, guidance, and advice because they look for quick and simplistic answers to solve their own inability of breaking through to a better business solution to their problem from a book that matches their capacity as business people. Simpleton. We'll discuss management skills and the talents it requires to keep its management team forging ahead. But first, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our topic for this evening, management, leadership, and the corporation on History and You in just a moment. Just break it down.
In a world dominated by frameworks, platforms, and tools, it's difficult to know how to win when the only certainty is change. At Software FX, customer service and highly useful products are our main goals. Over 20 years of experience, coupled with ideas and inspiration from more than 150,000 developers all over the world, have turned into business intelligence tools that provide more choice, convenience, and value to our customers and partners. Yes, technologies do change, but Software FX has your back. That's Software FX, data visualization for every need, every platform. Call us today, toll free, at 1-800-392-4278. That's 1-800-392-4278. Be the master of your data. Software FX. Sweet Pea by Stacy Frotti is a woman's contemporary clothing line and nationally recognized brand. Sweet Pea is an innovative collection that pairs flirtiness with sensibility. Our Sweet Pea woman can be running a board meeting, watching a soccer game, or dining out with friends. Sweet Pea is recognized to be eye-catching and edgy. We empower our loyal worldwide customer base by creating clothing that fits their lifestyle. She is on the move and believes that Sweet Pea is her go-to on almost all occasions. Day into night, Sweet Pea's stylish blouses move with you and your busy day. Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom's, Anthropologie, and the Sweet Pea by Stacy Frotti website feature new Sweet Pea designs weekly. We have been creating beautiful clothing for 16 years, and there is no sign of us slowing down. Fashion is cyclical, it is true, but style is a constant. Please visit www.sweetpeabystacyfrotti.com today.
Okay, and we are back with discussing our topic for this evening's show, Management, Leadership, and the Corporation on History and You. It is management at all levels of the corporation that provides the leadership for success. It's people that know how to handle other people. It's people that know how to engage in the personal appeal, engage in the moment, that walk around with a sense of timing as to how and when to do things right to bring people together and make them do what needs to be done in the name of the corporation. Managers must inspire, and this is so important to remember. Managers must inspire other managers and workers alike to find a purpose for believing in what they do in their jobs. It's not the corporation itself, as the author, Dr. Adizes, seems to suggest, but rather it's people energizing other people to find outside people in order to better serve people. Did you get that? I don't know if I can repeat that. It's a people business. It's a people oriented. It's people pumping up other people, energizing other people to find people in the outside to better serve the needs of people as a whole in order to gain a people market. The book, Managing Corporate Life Cycles, it places too much emphasis on what characterizes the life cycles of companies from the perspective of an outside observer. The author seems to prioritize a company's agenda from the outside in. The priority, I would think, instead should be to the reverse, which is to say that a company can best measure its longevity of success by looking at itself from the inside out as an output of insight and careful planning for tracking its next step forward. And it's here that the author oversimplifies the complexities of managerial mechanisms at all levels of a corporation. Allow me to cite several items from this book that can mislead readers into an ambiguous understanding of corporate characteristics and corporate behavior. The author in the introduction attempts to use the terms entrepreneurship and integration. Entrepreneurship and integration. In relation to what? In relation to the organizational growth of a corporation. And it attempts to use these terms interchangeably. I think this can confuse the reader from the start because he fails to adequately conceptualize what integration is within the context of the point he's trying to make with corporate growth. If you're talking about what makes a company grow, what then is there to be integrated? Is this a convergence? If so, how? And what is the conduit to being entrepreneurial? What's the connection? What's the connector? Another issue I have with the book is the suggestion that changes made in companies are an automatic segue to a new set of problems for management to deal with. Wow. Well, this may hold true or it may not hold true because, again, it all depends on the kind of corporate culture or environment that management can create in addition to the quality of choices made. Problems need not arise in any close proximity to when the changes were initially made. And although problems down the road may very well turn into opportunities, they may also serve as a motive for management to kick the can a little further down the road and resolve nothing. The author in his book displays a very, very simple flowchart that shows how change leads to problems, as problems also lead to solutions in linear progression. Did you get that? There's a flowchart here in this book that shows how change leads to problems, and then those very same problems also lead to solutions in linear progression. Actually, it's a syllogism. It's tautological. And it is precisely in these solutions that they, in turn, become new problems once again, but at a different level or of a different nature. So are we then to understand that the very solutions which are crafted for solving our problems at present are also the problems that will set us back once again, but in the future? The solutions are the future problems, which become the solutions again in due time, which then become a new set of problems, only to discover new solutions within these problems again? Is that it? Well, once again, ambiguity leads to a foggy understanding of what seems to be an inimitable tautology of corporate behavior. This is not intended to suggest that change in corporate structure or corporate function is an undermining independent variable to corporate behavior. Instead, I tend to think that change is quite valuable, but in a different context other than the universal one that the author suggests. I want to discuss the kinds of problems that corporations can experience now and again. But first, let's take another quick break. And we'll be right back with our topic for this evening, management, leadership, and the corporation, on History and You, in just a moment. Just to break it down.
In a world dominated by frameworks, platforms, and tools, it's difficult to know how to win when the only certainty is change. At Software FX, customer service and highly useful products are our main goals. Over 20 years of experience, coupled with ideas and inspiration from more than 150,000 developers all over the world, have turned into business intelligence tools that provide more choice, convenience, and value to our customers and partners. Yes, technologies do change, but Software FX has your back. That's Software FX, data visualization for every need, every platform. Call us today, toll free, at 1-800-392-4278. That's 1-800-392-4278. Be the master of your data. Software FX. Sweet Pea by Stacey Frotte is a woman's contemporary clothing line and nationally recognized brand. Sweet Pea is an innovative collection that pairs flirtiness with sensibility. Our Sweet Pea woman can be running a board meeting, watching a soccer game, or dining out with friends. Sweet Pea is recognized to be eye-catching and edgy. We empower our loyal worldwide customer base by creating clothing that fits their lifestyle. She is on the move and believes that Sweet Pea is her go-to on almost all occasions. Day into night, Sweet Pea's stylish blouses move with you and your busy day. Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom's, Anthropologie, and the Sweet Pea by Stacey Frotte website feature new Sweet Pea designs weekly. We have been creating beautiful clothing for 16 years, and there is no sign of us slowing down. Fashion is cyclical, it is true, but style is a constant. Please visit www.sweetpeabystaceyfrotte.com today.
Okay, and we are back with discussing our topic for this evening's show, Management, Leadership, and the Corporation on History and You. This show is being brought to you by Software FX and Sweet Pea Women's Apparel by Stacey Frotte. I also wish to remind those people who wish to call in and contribute a thought, you can call at our toll-free number at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can send me an email as well at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. Our website is located at bbsradio.com/historyandyou. That's bbsradio.com/historyandyou. We would love to hear from you. Okay, there is another point of contention here in discussing Dr. Adizes' book, Itzhak Adizes, Managing Corporate Life Cycles. And the point of contention with the author's argument is when suggesting that corporations have problems. Well, there's no disagreement there. But he claims that corporations have normal problems and abnormal problems. And that's about it. Corporate disseminations of corporate agendas through research and development trajectories, finances, budgets, management issues, legal issues, production issues, earnings, accounting reports, audits, and God knows how much more, clearly, not only does the author oversimplify corporate problems by classifying in only two types, but in the real world, problems amalgamate. What he sees, for example, in corporate risk is not always abnormal. If certain key levels of management are still more committed to target production than others. When there's a commitment to a product orientation, it's not all that abnormal to calculate the rate of investment or ROI in order to know how to further calibrate the orientation of a product for mass production. When there is no sense of urgency for a short period of time, and all around are satisfactory feelings about how well your team of leaders have steered at the helm of the ship, that's not a bad thing. It's not. And they try and make you think that it might be. They discourage it from telling you you've done a good job. I'm here to tell you that that is not a bad thing. There is a corporate psychology out there suggesting that complimentary gestures or acknowledgement of good work to workers and mid-level management is a bad thing. That this kind of positive affirmation is risky because it may lull them, that is, the workers and mid-level managers, it may lull them into a degree of complacency from which there is no full recovery. Bullshit. Let me say it again so everyone can hear ever so clear. Bullshit. If good work is done, it should be recognized because it's going to make everyone involved with whatever task was done, feel good about themselves and about their sense of self-worth. And it'll reinforce the dignity deserved to those supervisors who had the insight to do it in the first place. You gotta remember, corporate business is a people business, both within the company and outside of it. If you lack the social skills of knowing how to forge good relations among those who look to you for the example, so that they in turn can provide the same example for others below them, you're in the wrong business. There are other points of contention that the book offers which may not necessarily apply to the real world as well. For example, the author mentions that a corporation's sign of aging is when certain kinds of people are kept only for their personalities. Well, what about the guy who does development work for a company like a private school, for instance? As a way of recruiting funds for a nonprofit climate, a charismatic personality better be there. Another eye catcher is the statement that whenever the accounting or finance or legal departments have political power, this is another sure sign of aging. Everything in business is politicized. Everything. Because it is a constant vying for power. From its primal and nascent steps to its stodgy end, all business entities are political to some degree or another. Because the nature of its activity is about people. It's about people dealing with people in the chess game to out-leverage someone else for something else. It's the human drama incarnate with comedic proportions, personified as corporate and insulated in individual insignificance. And you know what? That's all the time we have. And that's all the time I'm going to give to this book. And so we've come to that final part of our show where I do wish to leave you with a final thought to consider. Corporate business is serious because it does provide the stuff from which jobs come from to put food on the table, to feed your family, to keep your marriage, and to some extent, it helps you to keep your sanity glued. But don't ever become a corporate person. Don't ever lose your sense of self-identity. Don't ever sell your soul to a company only for the sake of feeling financially secure. Wake up. There's no such thing. Read the right books. Get inspired by the right kinds of people. And remember to never forget or never overlook a kindness from anyone. Forgive everyone and forget everything. Join me again next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. for another hour of insights by visiting my website at bbsradio.com/historyandyou. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling wishing all of you a very, very pleasant evening. Good night.